Amen. Thank you for being here tonight. God bless you and all our friends again on the internet. Brother Don Anderson's full-time evangelist, pastored in Kernersville, North Carolina, same church, I think he said 29 years. We've been praying for him for a good 2 years now. But God's blessed him, used him now, 6 years in full-time evangelism. We were blessed this morning. God used him. We're looking forward to the rest of this meeting. But you make welcome again to Benson Grove Baptist Church, Brother Don Anderson, evangelist from Walnut Cove, North Carolina. Amen. God bless you.
Thank you, Pastor. Well, isn't it great to be in church tonight? How many of you had a great time today at church? I have. I feel like I've been to church, and I feel like I've met with the church, and I feel like I've experienced church. Amen? And I hope you feel the same way. It's been so good, and thank the Lord for all He did for us this morning, and we're looking and anticipating great things tonight and for the rest of the meeting. I want you to turn, please, to 1 Timothy in chapter number 6. 1 Timothy in chapter number 6 in your Bible. And I do want to say I appreciate the great singing. I appreciate Brother LaVon singing that great song tonight. Then always good to be with the Ollis family. I met them a few years back in Jacksonville, Florida. And I was in a revival down there, and they were singing with the Kingdom Heirs, and we just had a great, great time in the Lord. And I appreciate these dear people that know how to set the stage for services and preaching, because that is so important. Brad, I preach every week, and I'll be honest with you. Sometimes the singing groups, they kill it. They kill it dead, graveyard dead, and then they think I can resurrect it. Well, there's just no way. But these folks are a blessing. Let's give them another hand tonight, huh? Wasn't they a blessing to us? I want you to look here in 1 Timothy chapter number 6 in your Bible, and let's look in verse number 12. The Bible says, "Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. I give thee charge in the sight of God, who quickeneth all things, and before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good profession, that thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which in His times He shall show, who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords." Let us pray. Father, it is good to be in Your house tonight. I want to thank You that we were able to meet this morning, even though the weather was what it was, and then to have a little bit earlier service so we could meet again tonight to enjoy all this great singing. Lord, we're just so thankful to be here with Your people. Lord, tonight as we come and open this text up for a few minutes, I pray You'll help us here a little while tonight, because we know without You, Lord, we know without You, we can do nothing. Help us here a little while, I pray, in Jesus' name, amen. I want you to notice a verse in particular in the verses I read tonight in verse number 13. I want you to look at the first part of that verse. I give thee charge. Do you see that? I give thee charge. Here Paul, we know, is writing as the senior preacher, the older preacher, to the younger preacher that's coming on behind him. You'll be hard-pressed to find in the Bible a greater preacher than Timothy became. My, he had so many good things going for him. He had a godly grandmother. You know, ladies, tonight, if you're a grandma, you ought to want to be a grandma like Timothy had. He had a godly grandma. You know, also, he had a godly mother, and she was a blessing in his life. Ladies, let me say to moms here this evening, you ought to desire to be a godly influence over your children. And then Timothy was saved under Paul, and Paul was his spiritual mentor. So he's got a lot of good things going for him. Timothy has got the right doctrine. Timothy's got the right message. Timothy's got the right stand. He's got the right influence. But I want you to notice what Paul told him in verse 13. He said, I give thee charge. Why does this young man need a charge? Well, we need to understand what the word charge means. Most of the time in your Bible, when you come across the word charge, it's the idea of a commandment or a commission. As if you look in 2 Timothy 4, just a second, a familiar verse with the word charge. Look what he says in verse number 1, writing to the same young man. He said, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Now here's the charge, preach the word. Well, I believe every man of God has that charge. That is a commandment, Brad, a commission to preach the word of God. But back in our text, the word charge has a little different meaning. The word charge in chapter 6 of 1 Timothy is this. It means to make a connection. Now hear me tonight. To make a connection in order to transfer a message. You see, Timothy's got the right message. But Paul said, Timothy, you're going to need a charge. You're going to need to make a connection. The world needs the message that Timothy has to bring, but Timothy will never bring the message to the world until he first makes that connection. You know, it sounds almost like battery terms. You know, we live in the most battery-dependent time of all history. Right here tonight, I wonder how many batteries are in this room. Batteries in your devices, batteries in my microphone, batteries in your computers and your phones. We're so battery dependent, and we're always thinking charge. Well, I gotta stay charged. How many of us before we came to church tonight looked at our phone to be sure we had a good charge? Well, I'm not against that. That's just the way things are, and that's just the way people think. But I want you to know something. I believe personally that if we were as concerned about the spiritual charge as we are the electronical charge, I believe we'd have revival before the week is out. And you know, I want to use tonight, now you may have been called a lot of things, but tonight I'm going to call you a battery. You know, a Christian is much like a battery. There's nothing like a freshly charged battery, but can I say there's nothing as worthless as a dead battery. And when you and I as Christians, when we get dead and lose our charge and lose our power, we become worthless, nothing but dead weight. I'm not trying to make you mad tonight, but you know it's true. If we don't stay charged, we're not going to be of any value in getting this important message of Christ to a lost and dying world. Back years and years ago when I worked in the public work over 30-some years ago, I worked at a battery company. I worked at a place in Winston-Salem, North Carolina, and we built batteries. I'm not talking about batteries for your lawnmower or for your car. I'm talking about, Brother Ollis, batteries that were as large as that grand piano. Large, mammoth batteries. You may wonder, what in the world would you do with a battery that big? Well, they were called mine batteries, and they powered equipment that would go down into the coal mines and devices that could pull out coal, and they couldn't be powered by a gasoline engine because of fumes, so they were powered by these mighty batteries. I'm talking about a battery that could light up 3 city blocks. I'm talking about power. Power that could take a machine into the earth and pull out coal. But guess what we sold alongside of every one of those batteries? We always sold a charger, because it didn't matter how much power and how big that battery was and all of its possibilities. When it's dead, it's dead. And much like a Christian, some time ago, a man in a service, he brought to me, Brother LaVon, his hearing aid battery, not quite the size of the piano. He popped it out the size of a pencil lead. He said, "You preaching about batteries, what do you think about this one?" I thought, my, my. But you know what? The very same principle. That little tiny battery powered a device that gave this man greater ability to hear. And if that battery's dead, the device don't work. If that battery's dead, the big equipment don't work. And can I say, if we're dead and we've lost our charge and we've lost the power of God, friends, we can forget getting done the work that God has called us to do. I believe tonight that Benson Grove Baptist Church has got the right doctrine. Can someone say amen? How many of you believe this great church has got the right message? Do you believe that? I believe that. How many of you believe your pastor is telling it right? Somebody say amen. But you see, Timothy had all that too. And Paul said, you got to have more than that. You've got to have a charge. You've got to have power from on high. When I was coming on as a young preacher, I can't tell you how much preaching I heard about power from on high. Getting filled with the Holy Ghost, getting the touch of God in your life. But now we don't hear too much about it because we're dependent on our talents. We're dependent on our abilities. We're dependent on our education, not against talent, not against ability, and not against education. But those things won't get it done by themselves. There must be a baptism of power. There must be a connection. Connection to power, as Paul told Timothy. Is the church with me? Say amen. I want to preach tonight using the battery analogy and preach on this subject, and I believe we all will agree with it. If we'll be honest, it's time for a charge. It's time for a charge. When you look at your phone and it's blinking in the red, you know it's time for a charge. And ladies and gentlemen, I believe as the church has weathered storms and difficulties like never before. You know, your dear pastor, been faithful here all these years, he couldn't get on the phone and call up somebody and say, "Hey, brother, hey, friend, hey, mentor, what do we do in a pandemic?" Because ain't nobody never been through what we've been through. Man, it has brought great distress. It's brought great discouragement and despair. COVID-19 almost killed me. And I'm glad to be alive and still going on for God. Some didn't make it. It did take some out of here. And some of you've had it, barely survived. But I'm here to tell you something, friends. During all this that seems like it's against us, if there's anything we need to make a connection. We need a charge. We need power from on high. You say, "Preacher, what are you getting at?" Well, I want to show you. Now, the chemistry and the science of batteries is way up here. But we're not going way up here. We're going to stay down here. I want to give you something tonight. Everybody can understand on this thought, it's time for a charge. First of all, when you think about a battery, we got to be reminded that a battery has two major components. Those components are called positive and negative. Is that right? Positive and negative. And guess what, friends? You've got to have both. If you don't believe you've got to have both, just take a half-inch wrench, go out to your vehicle, disconnect whichever one you choose on your car, and just see how well you do. You see, you've got to have both, both positive and negative. Let me illustrate with your pastor and pick on him since he picks on y'all. Say amen right there. You know, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 1:18, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, who knows what it is? It is the power of God. You see, God knows how to empower your pastor and bring you the kind of charge that you need right when you need it. For instance, sometimes you're going to come through these entrances and you've had a bad week. You've heard bad news at the doctor. You've heard bad news at the job. You've heard bad news in the family. And you come in the house of God just about defeated, just about ready to wave the white flag of surrender and quit. But here you come on anyway. Have you ever come in this church and say, well, this is probably my last time here. I don't think I can go on any further. And then you get in your place and all at once, whoop, here comes the man of God. And guess what he's got? He's got what you need. He's got a positive charge. He says things that encourage your heart, things that give you courage, things that give you faith. You take that old white flag of surrender, you put it back in your pocket, leave the house of God with a new ambition, and I believe I'll keep going on for God. Have you ever been there? Amen. Well, sometimes, the reason some of you didn't get too excited, because you know there's a flip side to this point. Sometimes you come in them doors and you have not been worth 10 cents for God all week long. Hadn't picked up your Bible, hadn't been in the place of prayer, been visiting websites you shouldn't be going to, and my, you come in here absolutely out of tune, absolutely dead. Well, it's those times God will ignite your pastor and give him a negative charge. You say, preacher, why do I need a negative charge? Because if we didn't hear preaching that reprimanded and corrected us in the areas that we were wrong, we'd become worthless as worthless can be. Now, you can't live on all positive. And you can't live on all negative. But if you got the right balance of positive and negative, you can go on for God. Y'all hadn't met my wife. She's got some doctor's appointments this week. But we've been married for 40 years. And I believe the reason we're still in love and the reason we're still married and still going on for God is because we met some preachers long ago who were not afraid to tell us where we were wrong. How many of you know it's not always what you want to hear, it's what you need to hear. And I'm glad that God brought to me what I needed to hear in those times in my life. If I needed encouragement, He knew how to do it. If I needed reprimand, hey, He knew how to do it. And God knows exactly what we need. You know, this week as we enter revival, Brother Brad said y'all been praying for weeks, and Pastor told me that y'all have had special prayer meetings. You know what we need to pray this week? You see, I can't bring you revival. I wish I could do that, but I can't do that. But we need to pray that God will bring us what we need to hear, not what we want to hear. What we want to hear is not always best for us, but God knows what we need. I want to be charged. I want that power. I want to make that connection. And Lord, whatever I need these days, just send it my way. If it's positive, to encourage me. If it's negative, to correct me. Whatever I need, Lord, that should be our prayer this week. Can the church say amen? Well, when you look at a battery, there's not only components, two major components, but here's a big battery term, don't get nervous, but it's called continuity. Continuity is this, and I know we got some folks in here old as me and older. You know what an old-fashioned tube-type flashlight is. How many of you know what that is? Say amen. See if I'm right on this. In the bottom of that barrel, that tube, is a spring. You drop a battery in. Am I right so far, Miss Regina? Am I right so far? You drop negative down first. Am I right? Well, then, if it's a two-battery unit, Brother Ollis, you drop another one. Am I correct? Same direction. And you screw it all together. And if you got a good bulb and you got charged batteries, you got light. Now, what you've done inside that simple flashlight, you've made continuity. You've taken two batteries, put them together, and now they're one battery. Continuity. My wife's got a mag light. It holds four batteries. She says she don't care if it's charged or not. It makes a good weapon. Amen. Well, I'd say that's right. Four big batteries. Well, same principle. Four batteries. Continuity. Turning four into one. But I wonder tonight, does anybody have the answer to a question I have? How many batteries does it take to be turned the wrong way to shut down the power? How many does it take? I mean, if you had 100 batteries hooked together, how many would it take turned the wrong way? Only, I see ones going up all over the room. And you know what? You're correct tonight. Now, friends, if we're like batteries, and this great church is filled with batteries, how many of us does it take to be turned the wrong way to shut down the power? Friends, Satan's greatest battlefield with Benson Grove Baptist Church, it's not, listen, liquor, and I know you hate liquor, and it's not immorality and adultery, and I know you hate all that. We got to fight all that. But Satan's greatest battlefield in a church like this is not liquor and prostitution and gambling, but discord and broken harmony and getting people at odds with one another. My, how we got to get turned the same way. Pastor mentioned my evangelism. On July 31st of 2016, I left the pastorate only because God told me to. I thought I'd finish my course there, but God had other plans. I stepped out in the will of God. He put me right in evangelism. I could tell you much about that. But I remember our first revival after leaving the pastorate. I was headed to a little place called Matewan, West Virginia. I just assumed it was coal mine country, and sure enough, I was right. I remember, Brother Billy, as we were winding those sharp curves in Kentucky and West Virginia, and I remember, Brother Hollis, as we got way in there, I saw a big billboard. And I thought, man, who puts billboards out here? Well, there was a big billboard. And you know what it said? It said, Hatfield's Bed and Breakfast, the best stay in Matewan. I saw that and I said, that's where we're staying at. Hatfield's Bed and Breakfast. Didn't think much about it. Drove a few more miles through those hairpin curves. There's another billboard out in the middle of nowhere. And guess what it said? McCoy's Diner. The best food in Matewan. Hatfields, McCoy's. Seems like I've heard of this before. Sure, we've heard of this. The most known family feud of all time. Well, I looked at my wife. I said, you see all this? She said, yeah. Well, we found one last billboard before we entered into Matewan. And guess what it said? Welcome to Matewan, West Virginia. You're now in feud country. And I looked at my wife. I said, 28 years of pastoring, and now we've entered feud country. At least we'll feel at home. At least we'll understand while they're trying to kill one another. Well, guess where we were staying? The Hatfields Bed and Breakfast. We were on the second level in a very historic room, beautiful, everything just wonderful there. And the church had provided for us a basket with vegetables, raw, clean vegetables, for us to nibble on while we were there. Well, my wife goes straight to that basket and uncovers those vegetables. And when the smell of those raw vegetables filled the room, she didn't like that smell. They were clean, nothing wrong with it. She just didn't like that smell. And you're not going to believe what my sweetheart did. She went over to the window and she opened the window, not looking and realizing there was an air conditioner in that window. And when she opened that window, we're on the second floor, folks. That General Electric air conditioner went right out the window. When she opened that window, I thought, oh my. And you know, it would have been a good commercial for General Electric because it just kept running. It just kept running until the cord ran out. I'm looking down there. There's air conditioning laying on the ground. I said, Juanita, why in the world did you do that? She said, they should have had it more secure. How many of you know you can't win with a woman? Say amen. And I said, yeah, but I got to call downstairs. And I called downstairs. And as I was waiting for them to come and fix it, I told Juanita, I said, do you know they're going to think we're McCoy spies coming in to destroy the Hatfields Bed and Breakfast. Well, the folks were real nice, at least they were to our faces, and they put the air condition back. Well, it was a bed and breakfast, and I remember the first morning, the lady that served us there in the bottom, the lobby area, the breakfast area, she said, hey, preacher, I hear you in town a few days. Do you know anything about the Hatfields and McCoys? I said, yeah, I've heard of that. A dinner show in Pigeon Forge. I've always heard about the Hatfields and McCoys. And I kind of smiled. She said, well, preacher, you know, there's a lot more to it than that. And it was nothing to laugh about. I said, well, she said, I'd be glad while you're here to give you a lesson each morning about the Hatfields and McCoys. I said, sure, we'd love to hear it. And she began to tell us about that longest ongoing, most known family feud of all time. She said, preacher, nothing to laugh about in this story. There were times that Hatfields abused McCoys. There were times McCoys tied Hatfield children to trees and beat them. There were times that there was murder among the Hatfields and McCoys. And I thought, ma'am, I didn't know it was like that. She said, yes, it was that and even worse than that. I said, ma'am, toward the end of our stay, I said, ma'am, if the Hatfields and McCoys hated each other so bad to abuse each other, so bad to kill each other, so bad to tie their children to trees and beat them, could you tell me what caused this hatred? What caused all this? Did a Hatfield kill a McCoy? Did a McCoy rape a Hatfield? What happened? Something had to have happened to bring out all this hatred. And she shook her head and she said, "Preacher, you know, I hate to tell you what was the cause of all this. It was a dispute over the value of a pig. Both families said it was their pig. Neither one of them had money problems. They both had money. Money was not the issue. But stubbornness. One family said, that pig's mine. The other family said, that pig's mine. And because of a dispute of something worthless as a pig, it brought all that hatred, all that animosity, and to be known as the most ongoing family feud of all time." When she told me that, the Holy Ghost smote my heart and said, "Isn't that the way it is at church? Isn't that the way people get at odds with each other at church? Always over something of no value. Always over something that's not even important. Always over something that's worthless." Friends, can I say tonight, on this first night of revival, let's get turned the right way. Let's don't let divisions cause us to be at animosity. I had one other question for her. And I said, "Ma'am," I said, "I'm sitting here in Hatfield's Bed and Breakfast. I can look through the glass doors. I see McCoy's Diner. What if the owners of these two businesses met in the street today? Would we have to call the police? Would there be a fight? Would they cross the highway so they wouldn't have to look at each other?" I said, "Tell me, I need to know." And she smiled for the first time and said, "Preacher, oh no. Mr. Hatfield, Mr. McCoy, if they meet out there on the street today, they'll shake hands because they're friends. And they've got past all that. And they've forgiven each other's past. And they're going on as friends." And I thought, if two carnal families like the Hatfields and McCoys can put all that behind them, why can't we, as the people of God, put our stuff behind us, forgive, be merciful, get rid of all that animosity, and we could have revival? See how still and quiet it's getting? You see, that's our problem. We think that somehow we're justified in holding grudges and being unforgiving. But I want to be as forgiving towards you as I want you to be toward me. And I want to be as forgiving towards you as I want you to be forgiving toward my children and my grandchildren. Amen. And if we'd look at things that way, it might change a lot of the discord and the broken harmony at the house of God. Can the church say amen? Amen. Well, I want you to look on now. Would you look back in our text a moment? In 1 Timothy 6, Paul says that thou keep this commandment, notice those two words, without spot. That thou keep this commandment without spot. If you know anything about a battery, you know a battery is a magnet for corrosion. You remember that flashlight I was talking to you about, Brother LaVon, just a minute ago? You ever find that flashlight that's been in the cabinet for years? And Sister Alice, you pulled it out, you're shaking your head. Say, "Hey, there's an old flashlight. Great." And you hit the switch, nothing happens. And you open it up, and them two batteries are covered in old gook. Brown gook. How in the world did that get in that battery? How in the world did it get inside that tube? I'll tell you how. It's a magnet for corrosion. Some of you may wonder tonight, what in the world's wrong with me? I've never had such a battle in my flesh. I've never had such battles with temptation. I've never had such battles with sin as I'm having right now. Hey, wake up, friend. If you're a battery, you're a magnet for corrosion. And you know the only thing you can do about corrosion is just clean it up. You can't stop it. You just clean it up. You know, my youngest son, Matt, when he still lived at home, he had this old Dodge pickup, V6 Dodge pickup, long bed. It looked so long, I don't know if it'd fit in this room or not. It seemed like a long pickup. Every fender and door, a different color. And you know that kind of truck. Some wheels had hubcaps, some didn't. You know, that kind of truck. Well, one day Matt was getting ready to go to work, and he was still living at home. He went out to fire up that old truck. And Brother Billy, when he hit the switch, I was in the house. I heard click, 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 click. I said, Matt will be here in a minute wanting to know what's wrong. Sure enough, here it comes. Daddy, my truck's clicking. What in the world? I said, son, it could be a couple of few things, but let's check the most obvious. And I raised up that old primered hood. And when I did, folks, I'm not exaggerating, it was like a snowstorm of white. That old corrosion had built up on his post, and you couldn't even see the post. And Matt said, Daddy, what is all that? I said, son, it's called corrosion. Underneath all this, there's two posts and connectors. And what you need to do first, before we do anything else, clean all this up. I got a brush, a wire brush for this. Brush it up, put it all back together, and then come get me. Well, in about 30 minutes, here he comes. He said, Daddy, I did what you said. We went out there and I looked. He had that stuff shining and clean. I said, hit the switch, son. He hit that switch. Boom! Man, that old Dodge, it fired right up. You see what shut him down? Corrosion. You know what'll shut you and me down? Corrosion. I wish I could tell you how to stop it. You can't stop it. If you're an active battery, you can't stop it. You just have to deal with it. And you got to keep yourself clean. You got to come clean with God. Paul said, I die daily. Don't you be ashamed to come to God when you've missed the mark and ask God to forgive you. I wish I could stop that story right there, but I can't. You see, I had a red Dodge truck, same brand, but mine's Inferno Red, 21-inch chrome wheels. I've got a 5.7 Hemi. I can burn rubber. I'm talking about both of them are Dodge, but they don't look like they came from the same planet. Well, I'm in a hurry to go preach one morning, and I go out there, jump in my shiny red Hemi Dodge, hit my switch, and guess what? Click, 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 click. I opened that shiny red hood, snowstorm all over again. And you know, the Lord spoke to me. He said, while you were correcting Matthew, while you told Matthew he's got to keep his stuff clean, yours was corroding. At the very same time, you better be careful correcting everybody else, because if you're not careful, yours is corroding at the very same time. Well, you know, we serve a prayer answering God, because when I saw that snowstorm of corrosion in my shiny red truck, I said, Lord, please don't let Matt be nowhere around. I sure wouldn't want him to see this. And thank God he don't know the story to this day. But I want you to know, friends, corrosion is your enemy. Corrosion will shut you down. Corrosion will stop the best. I said the best of God's people. So what do we do? Brother Don, you said we can't stop it. That's discouraging. No, don't let that discourage you. Just keep yourself clean. Keep short tabs with God. When temptation comes, deal with it. When you've outspoken or spoken when you shouldn't have, or when you didn't speak when you should have, hey, get that thing right. Don't let it build up, because that build up of corrosion, it will shut you down. But can I give you this last one? Going back to my original thought, a charge means to make a connection. You've got to not only have components, you've got to understand continuity, you've got to deal with the corrosion, but lastly, this idea of connection. My dad's in heaven now, but his last 6 months on earth, he lived with us. And I'm so glad we were able to tend to him before he went to heaven. But when my dad still lived alone, he had rheumatoid arthritis so bad in his knuckles that if you looked at his hands, it would make you hurt. Just look, he was so deformed with that arthritis. We wanted to keep my dad, me and my brother, wanted to keep Dad independent as long as he was safe and as long as we could, because we knew it would encourage him if he could be independent and not have to rely on us. And one day me and my brother was talking and we said, you know, Dad don't even have a cell phone. And we're talking about a country man, a man who never been to an ATM machine, a man who never used a credit card, a man who wouldn't know how to turn on a computer, and certainly know nothing about a cell phone. And I said, well, I told my brother, I said, he does need a phone if he were to break down out there somewhere going back and forth to town. I said, but you know, with his crippled hands, he couldn't work a phone. I said, but I'm going to the phone people, talk to them about this. And Brad, I went in there to the phone people and I told them about Dad's arthritis. I said, the man can't zip a zipper. The man can't open a bottle of water. The man can't button a button. His hands are so deformed. But he has a sense of independence we want to keep if we can. And we know Dad needs a phone, but there's no way he could operate a phone with those hands. And I said, he's just a simple country man. He don't even understand all that. And they said, hey, wait a minute. I got something in the back. He goes in the back, comes out with a box, and he pulls out this phone. It's as big as my smartphone, but it's not a smartphone. It's just a big old phone, and it's got a big keypads. And he said, well, your dad's crippled hands, could he press these big buttons? I said, he sure could. I said, hey, this is what we've been looking for. And I spun it around and looked at the bottom, and I said, here's the problem. Dad could never hook up the charger. There's no way with his crippled hands he could ever make that connection. He said, Rev, wait a minute, I'm not done. And in the same box, he pulls out this plastic frame, sets it on the table, pulls out a little electric cord, hooks it to that plastic frame, and plugs it in over here. I'm watching. And he took that old big phone, Brad, held it above that frame, and just dropped it. And when it did, it fell in that frame, a light came on, it was charging automatically. I said, that's what my dad needs. He could do that. And until he no longer could drive, he kept that old big phone and drop it in that charger. But as he was demonstrating that to me, the Holy Ghost said, hey, you've got a frame. They called it a cradle. You got a cradle too. You see, our cradle is over at the house of God. Right there where you're sitting tonight, you may have had a hard time making a connection all week long. But isn't it good to come to the house of God, just fall back in your cradle and start charging automatically? Whether you realize it or not tonight, since you've been here, the light's been on. Whoop! Since you've been here, you've been charging automatically. I don't have to ask you who needs this. The only one who don't need this is someone who's absolutely lost their mind. If you know anything about you, like I know about me, I know I've got to have a constant and consistent charge if I'm going to get the job done that God has called me to do. Do you agree with the preaching tonight? It's time for a charge. It's time for a charge. As we stand all over the house with heads bowed and eyes closed, as we get some music ready, I wonder how many this evening. Do I even have to give an invitation? Let's turn this altar into a super duper, super sized battery charger. and just bring yourself down here, whoop, and get plugged in. You're not by yourself for feeling like you feel. You're not by yourself. You're not alone. You're not the only Christian who feels defeated, discouraged, wiped out by all that's going. You're not the only one. Because, friends, this happens to everybody. That's why old Don Anderson, he might shine up pretty good like that red Dodge truck, but he's going to have a constant, consistent charge. Paul said, I give thee charge. While these are praying tonight, while these are playing, Brother Hollis, do you have a song y'all could do? They're going to sing a little bit for us. The altar's open. Pastor will be coming in just a little bit.